Jerry Corsi with us. We're going to take your calls this hour. His website, CorsiNation.com, is linked up at CoastToCoastAM.com. Lots of great information there that will be very helpful to you. We're going to come back and take calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Jerome Corsi, as we're talking about world events as the way Mr. Corsi sees them. And strange times, Jerry, they really are.
I think it's some of the strangest times, George, that any of us have lived through, and I don't see it getting anything but stranger.
What does this do to our young people who are, you know, maybe in high school, maybe even in elementary school, but they hear this and see this every day?
Well, we went through it again, you know, earlier in the 1960s, and it's a very polarizing time. It's a time when people feel confused and they harden in their views to where they are intolerant of other people. And it's a very divisive time in our history, and we'll get over it. But in the immediate, it's going to be very traumatic.
I think so, too. And when you say we're going to get over it, we will get through this, won't we?
We always do, George. Everything passes. And, you know, I can remember in the 60s with the race riots, the death of Martin Luther King.
I was there, too, just like you were.
And it was a horrible time. These were events, you know, John Kennedy being assassinated and then the loss of Martin Luther King, which is a terrible tragedy. And the country was ripped apart. But we healed there, too, and we will again.
We went through some tense times, didn't we?
Well, and the country's going back to its founding. I mean, look at World War II and Pearl Harbor and the trauma to the country that we went through in the 40s. The scares with the Cold War and nuclear attacks in the 50s and 60s. This country has weathered tremendous political storms, and it was built to weather them, and we will do so again.
During some of my downtime when I'm at my computer, Jerry, I'll pop on YouTube and look at some old clips of Dean Martin's show and Frank Sinatra and stuff. And this was back in the 60s, so, you know, we're talking 50-some years ago. And some of the things they got away with in terms of racial jokes and religious jokes and things like that, absolutely unbelievable. You couldn't do that today.
Well, the World War II generation in that period of time was very raucous. I mean, they were outspoken. They said outrageous things. They insulted one another. But they took it in a good spirit in general. I mean, if you look at the old Johnny Carson show and some of the jokes he took, and, of course, you have Johnny Carson smoking on the set every night. And
yeah, Dean Martin always had a cigarette in his hands.
Always, and you wouldn't see that at all today. And so much has changed. And again, that's the nature of a country as robust as we are. I mean, we're different than we were in the 20s. We're different than we were at the time of the Civil War. This country has always had change and adapted, and that's one of our great strengths.
It is truly a great strength, and we will get through this, and we'll get through this COVID thing, too. It's
yes,
going to be
will.
A bumpy road, but we will get there. I think herd immunity is probably the smartest thing we should be doing.
Well, I go back to saying we weren't born in little biohazard suits, so God intended a couple of things we got to face. Number one, nobody survives this experience alive. We're all going to die. And secondly, you don't necessarily die today. And we go through a lot in life before we do die, and we get through some horrible things, wars, diseases, losses of people we've loved. People are built to be robust, and we will survive.
And we're going to take calls with Jerry Corsi. If you agree with him, if you don't agree with him, you have the right to have your own comments, of course, and your own thoughts. So let's go to these calls. Fran in Knoxville, Tennessee, to get us started. Hi, Fran.
Hi, George. I'm thrilled to be on with two of my favorite people, you and Jerome Corsi.
Oh, how about that? There you go, Jerry.
I have two questions. When the Durham report comes out, and Attorney General Barr gets it, will there ever be any prosecutions and jail time, like with Hillary or Comey and other people? Because if they're not, they'll just keep mocking and doing it over and over because they know they won't get prosecuted. And the second question I have is, how in God's name can we get rid of George Soros out of this country? He is paying protesters to commit violence, even murder, against our citizens. And even on Fox News, when Newt Gingrich brought him up on one of the shows, they silenced him and said they weren't allowed to talk about, he wasn't allowed to talk about Corsi. I mean,
Corsi's the good guy.
George Soros, because evidently he has a lot of pull all over this country. He's been expelled from Hungary and several other countries and banned by Israel. Now, why can't we get rid of this man? What kind of...
Well, let's talk about Soros first, and you stay on the line with us, Fran, in case we have to go back to you for that first question. Where is Soros now, Jerry? Do you know?
Well, he has spent a lot of time in New York City. I mean, he travels, and I'm not sure where exactly he is now, but he's international. And he, too, will pass. I mean, we're seeing the radicalization of leftist politics, the hardening, the intolerance. And this critical race theory is, to me, bizarre. It actually almost politicizes and criminalizes race and to the extreme. I don't see it being a permanent feature of American life. I think it will pass as one of these weird ideologies that had a hold for a while. And this is really an outgrowth of the 60s and the radicalization, the same Weather Underground that was involved in the 1960s protests, including Bill Ayers and others, involved again in architecting Black Lives Matters, which is clearly a Maoist movement. The leaders have said so. It's been on their website. They recently sanitized a lot of the things on their Black Lives Matter website, but it's a revolutionary movement.
Well, and it's unfortunate because there's no question that protest for episodes of police shootings and murders. And we support our police departments, but there have been some horrendous cases. Those people have a right to defend themselves with protest, but not with violence.
Well, that's correct, George. I mean, no one wants anyone to be abused, including by police. We need police. We can't have a society without police.
And there are a lot of great police officers.
They're tremendous. That's what they go through every day. Putting on that uniform and going out not knowing if they're going to come home to see their families again is a sacrifice that they make for law and order, and we've got to respect it. The thing I'm concerned about mostly is in the short term, it's going to be very, very divisive, and I don't want to see the country going to this political correctness and the intolerance where only certain things can be said. We are a robust society. We disagree with each other. We're irreverent, but that's one of the great benefits of what Americans have always been, and I don't see that characteristic going away. I mean, that's going to stay in the American character.
Let's go back to Fran for her first question, Jerry. Fran, go ahead with that again.
Okay. I just said and asked if when Durham comes out with his report and Attorney General Barr, will he ever be able to prosecute the people who have committed these horrendous illegal criminal actions against the president, like Hillary, and Comey? And if they aren't prosecuted, they'll just keep on doing it and mock our whole justice system. And how do you think that anybody will ever serve jail time? That's
probably not.
Well, George, I think that there's a great reluctance on Attorney General Barr's part. I mean, Washington is a very strange place in that they want to preserve the Justice Department, and what we're learning really shakes the Justice Department at its roots. This was not a Justice Department. It looks like an Injustice Department that weaponized politics, and we don't want a political form of justice. Now, what's forcing Barr to take action is that it started with the Acting Attorney General Grinnell and now John Radcliffe. There's new information coming out which makes it absolutely clear that, for instance, the Russian collusion was a hoax that was actually Russian disinformation to destroy Trump. And the new revelations are going to force action. Whether there'll be indictments or not, I think there's a great reluctance to bring indictments that could go as high as President Obama if it was really investigated. But I do have a feeling that there will be more indictments, and they've been telegraphed. And if Barr doesn't act, I think information will be dropped in the next, between now and the election, that will absolutely make it clear to the American people that there were crimes committed by the Department of Justice, including on this FISA court, which the lies were sworn to courts. I think Comey is in serious trouble for understanding that, in fact, the Steele dossier was largely nonsense to begin with. The Carter Page had worked with the CIA and was an informant to the FBI. It's hard to imagine he suddenly became a Russian agent. There's just so much deception that will come out. I do think there will be indictments, but I don't expect, you know, it's going to be difficult because my solution to the bureaucracy, by the way, is move the entire bureaucracy to Death Valley. We don't need to have it in Washington, D.C., and get rid of all of these, privileged bureaucrats who think that they are in charge of government policy when they're not elected.
Now, what's all this talk about Russian or Chinese tampering with the election? I mean, what do they think they're going to do?
Well, it's hard to imagine. First of all, we tamper with elections, too. Barack Obama sent a whole group of people over to Israel to defeat Benjamin Netanyahu, and they worked as operatives. Clearly, Russia and China entered with disinformation into our social media, into our media in general. But this is part of international politics today, these disinformation campaigns. And our own government runs disinformation campaigns. I mean, as I say, you know, I've written books about it. I think the Kennedy assassination is a disinformation campaign. We still don't have all the information. There are files from Pearl Harbor that 75 years later are still classified. Why is that?
Or the Gulf of Tonkin.
Or the Gulf of Tonkin. I mean, it goes on and on again. The ability to architect an event to make it look a certain way to get people to react is now a well-known technique.
What was the accusations against Saddam Hussein that he was killing little Kuwaiti babies?
That there were weapons of mass destruction which were never found. I mean, it goes on and on. And I think the American people have gotten very distrustful of government in general and are distrustful right now of our justice system. And something's got to be done there because we need to have a justice system just like we need to have police, but it has to be impartial.
Let's go to Portland, Oregon. John's with us west of the Rockies. How are things in your city, John?
Well, good afternoon. I just want to say, George, that I have some bad news for you because I don't think Joe Biden is going to be on the debate come Tuesday. I think they're going to come out and say that Joe Biden was involved with somebody in his campaign that had the virus and he is in quarantine. They can't afford to put him on.
Jeez, interesting. You think he's going to bypass the debate, Jerry?
I've heard this before, and it is a thought that, you know, saying he's exposed to COVID, he doesn't go to the debate. I think the internal polling of the Democrats have convinced them that they'll lose more votes by not debating, so they're going to take the risk of a cognitive failure during the debate by Biden, which would be catastrophic. And I quite frankly don't see how they can prop Biden up. Donald Trump is very good on his feet, and no matter how prepared Biden is, even if he does get the questions in advance somehow or other from Chris Wallace, or, you know, somehow they leak out of...
I don't think Chris would do it. Do
you? Oh, no, I'm not saying... I don't think Chris would do it either. But there's going to be an attempt to, you know, somehow or other find out. The topics have already been released for the debate, and it wouldn't be hard to figure out, well, what are the questions going to be?
I'll moderate it for him.
Well, I think you'd be pretty good at it, George. I think I wish you would moderate
it. I'd be fair.
You would be fair. You would be fair. And I think it would be very good to have you do that. I think it'd be very interesting to see this kind of a perspective. You are impartial, too, George.
I am. You know, I do not vote for president, Jerry, because I don't ever want to be accused of favoritism. I simply call it the way I see it. There have been some things that President Trump has done that have been pretty aggressive and good. He's done some other things that I've pointed out that have been crazy. And I just call it the way I see it.
Well, George, I've known you for many years, and you have always been impartial. You always see both sides and understand that there's merit on both sides. I really credit you with that, and I think it's one of the reasons you have such a large audience.
Next up, we've got Linda in Bloomington, Illinois. Welcome to the program. Hi, Linda.
Hi, George and Jerry. I love you both. First all, I heard way back in like December or January, before the virus ever hit, there was a guy on the radio talking one night, and his story was that Fauci was flying to China, and that when he was going through the checkout lane, he had a little bag with him, and they checked through his bag, and they came up with a vial, some kind of a liquid in there, and they asked him what it was. He didn't answer him. He just showed him his identification, and they put it back, and he went on, and he went to China. So my theory is he probably had that virus in that vial and took it to China, but that's what I think. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what I heard.
What I heard was somebody got arrested with vials of something somewhere, but I don't think it was Fauci, Jerry.
No, it wasn't Fauci. There was a scientist in Boston that was university-affiliated who was arrested trying to take various cultures of the virus out of the country. It's pretty clear. I mean, the CDC actually has patents on coronavirus, which seems to me amazing because you're not supposed to be able to patent.
You know, you're right. You're absolutely right.
And it's clear that Fauci has funded Wuhan. This Echo Health has been a bypass or a pass-through, almost like money laundering, where they fund a group that then in turn funds Wuhan. And Fauci's funded Wuhan even recently again, and that's suspicious. I think you go back to the trail, and going back decades, we have been looking at weaponizing viruses, and look, we've been...
Everyone has. Every country has.
Chemical warfare goes back to World War I.
Mustard gas. Remember
mustard
that?
Gas. Yes, and so, I think these are crimes against humanity, and these are very, very dangerous ideas to modify a virus. You have no idea where that's going, and that we can control a virus once it gets released and then begins mutating. I think this is extremely dangerous, and we shouldn't do it at all. But there's lots of things human beings do, like developing nuclear weapons that I would rather we didn't have, too.
Indeed, indeed. Jerry Corsi with us, his website, CorsiNation.com. Jerry, take about 20 seconds or so. What do people see when they get to the website?
Well, George, I've got a couple of free e-books on hydroxychloroquine, which is very good in terms of the current research. And I think you'll find one on the nature of violence that we're seeing in the streets, a very good intelligence report that shows the Maoist and the leftist attraction to violence going back into the 60s and back to the revolutions, the Orange Revolutions, etc. A telemedicine program, which we're expanding. That's going to be a permanent program. I think telemedicine's part of the future.
That's a great idea. We'll talk more about what's on your website, Jerry, when we come back, and we'll take final phone calls next on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, investigative reporter Cheryl Jones joins us, of course, with a story about genetically modified mosquitoes. Down in Florida, they want 750 million mosquitoes that they're going to modify genetically. No, don't do it, but that's what they're going to do. And then our final hour will be conversations with Cheryl. We'll take your somewhat open-line calls with her on Coast to Coast. Well, as you know, we cherish all of you as family for this program, and I always have, and everybody on our staff has. And we received some disheartening news today. Tom?
I'm sad to report I got a phone call today. It was a friend of Barry Pools. You know this guy's listener, Barry. Everybody's heard
from
him.
Rock Hill, South Carolina.
Exactly. So Barry suffered a stroke today, and he's in the hospital right now. And I don't have a lot of information, but his friend's going to call me back tomorrow with an update. So we just really need some prayers for listener Barry right now.
Let's do it. He was so energetic every time he called. Let's keep our fingers crossed and say those prayers for Barry.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Tom. And welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, along with Dr. Jerry Corsi. And Jerry, it seems that 22 states are seeing an increase, they say, in coronavirus cases. And you believe it's because they're doing more elaborate testing?
Yes, I think so, George. And I think generally people are going to be exposed to COVID. I think we're all exposed to measles, mumps, et cetera.
And probably COVID, too, all of us.
And COVID, too. And I think the vast majority of people are not going to be terribly sick, maybe not even have symptoms. it's for most people going to be like a bad flu or maybe a slight cold. But it's part of getting our immune system to be able to respond to these coronaviruses. And I think it's important that we do get exposed, especially now when the virus is weakening. Every one of these viruses do weaken and go away on their own, regardless of what we've done.
They take a couple of years, but they do go away.
And I'm not sure we've done anything that's getting it to go away. I think it will go away on its own, as in history. There's never been a disease that killed everybody, and they've all gone away eventually.
Let's go to first-time caller Tony, truck driving in Wyoming. Hey, Tony, thanks for calling.
Thank you, George, for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Call me skeptical, but I think this virus was man-made. And what I think they did was it's going to serve several purposes. One is to eliminate a lot of population, like the sick, the elderly, things like that, bring the population down. The second thing it's going to do is they're going to use it to get rid of our currencies throughout the world for a world currency. It'll be digital. It'll be on your phone. And then I think what's going to happen also is this virus here, I think it was just an experiment. They're going to tweak it to get it to work exactly the way they want it, and it's going to be re-released in the future, like a year or two down the road. And then they're going to have a vaccine. And when you get the vaccine, which is going to be mandated, it's going to be chipped. And you're going to be chipped for contact tracing.
Well, you know, Jerry, they're already talking about an R&D change in your system.
Well, yes, some of these vaccines are also engineering your RNA. And I've got an ebook on COVID-20, which shows how a much more, you know, on CourseyNation.com, a much more deadly virus could be created. I do agree that it was lab-created.
Oh, there's no question. No question.
Add a couple of elements from the HIV-1 disease, and you'll have an attack on your immune system. At the same time, the virus is attacking your lungs and your cardiovascular system.
What baffles me at how fast this thing went around the planet. It was unbelievable.
And that's, I think, part of, you know, our nature of our international travel, our international world, and that what happens in China is going to be eventually felt here, and eventually is it in a matter of a few weeks or months. So I think we're going to have to realize that there are going to be new COVIDs or other viruses, and we're going to have long-term preparation for them, which I don't think magic bullets of vaccines are going to cure. It's going to be more treatments of these diseases, and that's why I go back to the hydroxychloroquine and the zinc. And I think we will have to have more testing. I'm going to be introducing a COVID test in this telemed program. And
good, that's smart.
It has to be done through doctors, and even if we need to send a nurse to your home to do it, we're going to do it. Because I think people need to know whether they have COVID or not and develop the antibodies. And I share the caller's concerns that this could be used to architect a more totalitarian society. We don't want to have a chip in us. If we didn't get a vaccine, you don't get to do XYZ. You can't ride on an airplane.
It's hard to believe, Jerry. It's conspiratorial, but you know what? You can't rule it out.
Well, in China, they have social scores, and they do code everyone, and they have a face recognition technology all over the country. They can watch you and map you, and we don't need to be 1984. That's not how people are meant to live. We are meant to live in the kind of chaotic, wild society that we have. At least it's interesting.
Absolutely. Next up, let's go to M, Wildcard Line in Los Angeles. Welcome to the program. Hi, M.
Hi, George. Thank you so much. Hi, Dr. Corsi. Two things with regards to COVID. Well, with regards to the virus, the protests. Okay, so with regard to COVID, I want to know why our elected officials are not speaking out more about the riots and the protests, because apparently you can protest for hours on end, day and night, shoulder to shoulder with strangers, sometimes nose to nose, taunting police, and the virus apparently gives you a pass. But George gets the hairy eyeball for standing 3 feet silently from another customer in the bank. It makes no sense. And then where are our elected officials in general as far as denouncing violence? I mean, here and there they say something, but it's basically nothing. And they need to do more so that no one's confused. I mean, they need to have PSAs on the hour, every hour on TV and radio, as well as sending out pamphlets and posting signs and store windows to say any rioting and violence will be met with swift and appropriate response by law enforcement. So no one is confused, because apparently people are confused. Apparently some people think that violence is okay.
Well, you're absolutely right, Em. And the jury, there's got to come to a point where the violence has got to stop. I mean, protesting is healthy. It's constitutional. We have the right to do this. But you don't maim and hurt and shoot two police officers in Louisville, Kentucky. You don't do that.
Well, the violence almost looks psychopathic, screaming in people's faces and the random attacks, and this violence is extremely dangerous.
And on both sides are getting out of control now.
And no one wants this. I think it's backfiring on those who think the violence is going to promote political change. The average person understands the need for police. I think you're finding, even in the minority communities, a great concern if the police are gone. We don't want criminality. We want to live in a peaceful society. So I see this as a passing phenomenon. Just as in the 1960s, in the middle of all the riots against the Vietnam War and protesting on racial issues, it looked like it would never end, but it did end.
And they had the right to protest. The one mistake they made was they attacked our troops.
Well, and I agree. The troops are great, and we should be grateful to them as we should be to the police. They defend us, and they risk their lives, lives and limb, to do so. We owe them a great deal of gratitude. But, George, I think the average person understands the need for order, and we go through these periods, and when we're going through them, they look like they'll never end. They are actually healthy because they challenge ideas, they challenge thinking, but the violence in this extreme has got to be brought under control. It's going to backfire. Anyone who thinks it really achieves a political good has to realize that it's turning the vast majority of people off, and it does not achieve the political goal that the hard left thinks it will.
Frank in Hollywood, Maryland, welcome to the program. Hi, Frank.
Yeah, hold on a second while I take these gloves off. The president is getting very desperate. He's running around in the middle of the night. He's making these tweets about calling my fellow American socialists, calling members of the Congress socialists. If you give him a piece of paper and a pen, he can't write the definition of the word socialist to save himself. He's an ignorant, backward, primitive man. What goes for him doesn't go for anybody else.
Jerry, let's let you react to that one.
Well, I think Donald Trump has this ability to produce really strong reactions on both sides. Some people look at Donald Trump and they just can't stand anything about him.
He's not well-read. Would you agree?
Well, Donald Trump's a very interesting guy. He's actually quite brilliant. I mean, the success he's had in New York City, if you've watched him for as many years as I have in New York City, and for a while when I was in my banking career, I was virtually a resident of the Plaza Hotel when he owned it, and I got to know his staff and met him there the first time. And he runs, to deal in New York City and to succeed like Donald Trump has done, is pretty remarkable.
Oh, absolutely. You can't take that away from him.
No, and even his father didn't want him to do it because he was thought, New York City was such a rough place, and it is. But Donald Trump had the unions. He worked with the unions. He's employed more minorities than almost anyone in Congress has ever employed. And Donald Trump draws this strong reaction from people who love him or hate him. They love the Trump Tower, or they hate the fact that he tore down the Bonwit Teller building from the 1930s. I mean, there's always positives and negatives about Donald Trump, and he gets a strong reaction on both sides.
Well, what's interesting, and I've not seen this in a lot of people. The people who like him and support him adore him. The people, and I sent a text to a friend of mine who had a major, major corporation that Donald dealt with, and he swears by him. I mean, he absolutely swears by him. And he says he will go down in history as one of the greatest presidents we've ever had. And I'm thinking to myself, really? Geez. But the people who don't like him can't stand him. I've never seen anything so divided.
Well, George, we have to go back in history and remember that Abraham Lincoln was loved and hated. He was ridiculed and demeaned by the press. They considered him to be like an ape-like, and his physical characteristics, and he was from the West. It went on and on. Franklin Roosevelt, even today, people love Franklin Roosevelt, that great smile and his positive attitude in the Depression and World War II, or they hate him. They see him as a socialist, and he destroyed the country with social welfare programs. So, great personalities draw strong reactions, and Donald Trump has a charismatic, very strong personality, and people love him and hate him.
Let's go next to Cornelius in Alexandria, Louisiana, on the wild card line. Corny, I know we are going to get your question in, but sad news about Barry tonight, huh?
Yeah, George, it hit me like a ton of bricks. George, I want to say one thing about Barry. He was my first coast-to-coast connection friend because of you and Tommy. And I love Barry. I hope and pray that he makes it through all of it.
Yeah,
Jerome,
too.
This is my question for you. I have to be African-American. I have to be a Trump supporter. I've gone through a whole lot of stuff, and George knows it, too, from being a correctional officer. I tell you, Trump used to be a Democrat and stuff like that, and people need to know that's what he was at first. But Trump has changed a whole lot. And Jerome, you're right. I think he's more Christian than anything now. He's pro-life and everything. And people just need to give Trump a chance, because without Trump, I think America's going down. But poor blacks that defend Trump and stuff, I don't know if you saw on Tucker Carlson, they killed a black fellow that was a Trump supporter, and you know about the white fellow they killed. So Trump supporters are going through hell, whether they be white or black. And I just think a lot of people are being that silent majority. They're not telling these pollsters, that they're supporting Trump or not. So,
what do you think, Jerry?
I think those were very astute comments, very, very insightful, and I agree. I think Trump is going to get a remarkable percentage of both the black and Latino votes because he's reached out to people with a paradigm-changing message saying, we'll get you jobs. We understand the economic need. We want to see your families built. That we are not going to be prejudiced. No right-thinking American has prejudice in their hearts. And we all want to be one family, even though we're so diverse. And I think what this gentleman said was felt by millions of people in minority communities around the world, which do not all immediately go for the left.
What's your prediction? Are we going to have an election night fiasco because of all the returns and mail-ins, or are we going to have a clean election, and then who would you predict?
Well, 2020 has been chaos. I don't think it'll change. I think the election will be chaos. It'll be raucous. There'll be contests and both sides arguing. I think Donald Trump will get such a strong in-person vote because of the excitement for his candidacy compared to the who cares about Joe Biden response that he's getting. I think Donald Trump will win, but I expect it to be raucous and historic and a lot of fun to watch.
I think so, too, and we'll see you, Jerry. You'll be one of our many guests that night as we talk our way through this election, to be sure. It's the fate of our country, folks, and it's important. Up next, investigative reporter Cheryl Jones. I just got bit by a mosquito. That's what we're talking about next.